The Philippines rolls out its COVID-19 vaccination program for minors. Several senatorial slates will be sharing candidates for the 2022 polls. We'll tackle that with the chairman of the USD Political Science Department, Dr. Dennis Coronacion. And the Philippine Police Force vows to do better as the country slid further in the World Justice Project Rule of Law Index. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, the Philippine government kicks off the COVID-19 vaccination of minors. Let's get the latest now from Pasig City General Hospital from our correspondent, Vivian Gulia. Viv, go ahead.
Carmina, good afternoon. More than 50 minors aged 12 to 17 years old who have comorbidities received their first shot of COVID vaccine here at the Pasig City General Hospital as of 10 o'clock this morning. PCGH is one of the 8 hospitals that piloted the rollout of COVID jabs in the country to minors with comorbidities at 8 a.m. today. It was a mix of jitter and excitement for some children and parents we talked to as they lined up for the vaccination. They were initially briefed by their pediatrician of the benefits and possible side effects of the COVID vaccine and were convinced that getting it is crucial, especially for those with comorbidities, as they are more vulnerable to the virus. There are also those who are eager and have long waited for their turn to get protection from COVID. Patients and parents or guardians underwent another round of screening and counseling here before getting jabbed with Pfizer's COVID vaccine. Only Pfizer and Moderna's COVID shot have so far secured emergency use authorization for minors 12 to 17 years old in the Philippines. Of the 5 minors we interviewed after vaccination, none experienced immediate side effects. PCGH Acting Hospital Administrator Dr. Arlene Samonte says this is also the case for others who got vaccinated as of 10 a.m. She assures children and parents the hospital is ready should there be such cases. Samonte says the PCGH targets to vaccinate 50 to 100 minors today. Apart from PCGH, other hospitals designated as pilot COVID vaccination sites for children with comorbidities are Philippine Children's Medical Center, Fedelmundo Medical Center, National Children's Hospital, Philippine Heart Center, Philippine General Hospital, St. Luke's Medical Center in Taguig, and Makati Medical Center. Vaccine recipients should bring a medical certificate as proof of comorbidity, which should fall within the conditions listed by the Department of Health. These conditions include medical complexity, genetic conditions, neurological conditions, metabolic or endocrine conditions, cardiovascular disease, obesity, HIV infection, tuberculosis, chronic respiratory disease, renal disorders, and hepatobiliary. Vaccine recipients and their parent or guardian should also bring an ID and proof of their relationship. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot. Our correspondent Vivian Gulia there joining us live from Pasig City. Thanks, Viv. Take care and you keep safe. Meanwhile, all local governments in Metro Manila are set to roll out COVID-19 vaccination of minors soon. The Health Department's National Capital Region Director, Gloria Balboa, says at least one hospital per LGU will conduct pediatric vaccinations next week. Balboa notes minors with comorbidities can walk in these hospitals as long as they present medical records. Meanwhile, Balboa says the country will expand child vaccinations outside Metro Manila in 2 weeks.
After itong 2 weeks na to, no, kasi after po ng 2 weeks, kasi dito nga sa NCR ang pilot, i-open naman na po sa mga ibang rehiyon, yung mga nakamit naman ng 50% ng nabakunahan sa mga senior citizens nila. Kasi syempre may mga priority pa rin po tayo, itong ating mga senior citizens, yung mga ibang adults na may comorbidities. So, tip po natin as we go along kung mai-open na doon sa general na with walang comorbidity.
The Philippine House of Representatives realigns some 65 billion pesos in the proposed 5 trillion peso 2022 budget. Of that amount, around 20 billion pesos were allocated for the procurement of booster shots and 4.5 billion pesos for the special risk allowance of health workers. Some 5 billion pesos were also realigned for medical assistance of indigent patients. House lawmakers also allocated additional funds for the labor, social welfare, transportation, and defense departments. The House is expected to transmit its final version of the proposed 2022 national budget to the Senate on October 27. The Philippines reported 7,835 new COVID infections Thursday. This is the second day the country's coronavirus cases were below 8,000. This brings the total to nearly 2,700,000 cases. COVID-related deaths increased by 154. The Philippines releases an updated list of countries classified as high and low risk for COVID-19. Romania will be classified under the so-called red list from tomorrow until the end of the month. This means travelers from Romania are barred from entering the Philippines, except for returning Filipinos on repatriation flights. Meanwhile, some countries that are classified as low risk are China, New Zealand, and Taiwan. The Philippine government will continue to allow fully vaccinated travelers from these countries to skip facility-based quarantine, but they are required to present a negative RT-PCR test taken within 72 hours before their arrival. Cinema operators in Metro Manila gearing up to open their doors for the first time since the onset of the pandemic. Other establishments also cheering the increased operation capacities. Alvin El Chico tells us more.
We must do something.
It's almost 2 years since movie houses closed due to the pandemic. That's why cinema operators are excited after government allowed them to reopen on a limited capacity starting October 16. This Ayala Cinema in Pasig City sits 226, but will only be allowed 68 customers to comply with a 30% capacity limit. This movie house in Quezon City is getting ready with temperature check and QR codes before one can see a movie. The arrangement is two seats apart, but this can change depending on the final guidelines from the LGU. Cinemas are expected to reopen in November.
Kasi may paghahanda pa tayong kailangan gawin para maligtas na at safe na safe. Yung minimum health standards ay kailangan sundin. At ito yung social distancing, face mask, alcohol, and orderly ang pagpasok at paglabas.
If there are people excited to see a movie, some are not yet ready.
Kung vaccinated, pwede naman. Kasi yun ang panlaban natin eh. Pero pag hindi, linbag muna.
Okay lang po kasi para makapag-enjoy po yung ibang tao kasi nakaka-boring na din po sa bahay.
Arcades can also open with 30% capacity. Restaurant owners also thank the government for the additional capacity. Malls are getting ready for the influx of consumers this payday weekend and as the holiday season nears.
Dadagdag kami ng mga security marshals to ensure that all the safety protocols are still in place and naipapatupad ng mabuti.
With the opening up or the easing of the restrictions comes responsibility. Responsibility to make sure that we still practice safety protocols.
Meanwhile, the Catholic Church says it will follow protocols to prevent the spread of COVID. SSS prepares for 30% worker capacity starting next week, while GSIS will add more frontliners by Monday. Pag-ibig Fund, on the other hand, will have a minimum 50% workforce in its branches, but members can still do online or Dropbox transactions. Alvin El Chico, ABS-CBN News.
Sydney ending its mandatory quarantine for fully vaccinated international travelers beginning November 1st. New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet says travelers must present a negative RT-PCR test result and proof of vaccination.
I want to open up New South Wales to the world. We need to rejoin the world. We can't live here in a hermit kingdom. We've got to open up. And this decision today is a big one, but it's the right one to get New South Wales connected globally.
Australia had closed its international borders in March of 2020, only allowing entry to citizens and permanent residents. They were required to undergo a mandatory two-week hotel quarantine at their own expense. The new policy is in line with government's reopening plans as vaccination rates nationwide near target levels. COVID-19 vaccine mandates in the U.S. are working. That statement coming from President Joe Biden as he cited the decline of COVID-19 case rates in 39 states. He says COVID-19 deaths have also gone down while inoculation rates against the virus have risen sharply. But Biden admits a lot more needs to be done to convince millions of unvaccinated Americans to get the shot.
It's working. We're making progress. Nationally, daily cases are down 47%. Hospitalizations are down 38% over the past 6 weeks. Case rates are declining in 39 states, and hospital rates are declining in 38 states. We're down to 66 million, still an unacceptably high number of unvaccinated people from almost 100 million in July.
The Biden administration has also been pushing for COVID-19 boosters. On Thursday, an expert panel of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration voted unanimously for a third dose of Moderna's vaccine. The recommendation covers Americans aged 65 and older and those at high risk of severe illness. Now, if approved, it will become the second vaccine brand that can be used as a booster in the U.S. after Pfizer. In other news, the Philippine National Police vows to improve efforts in maintaining justice and security in the country. This after the Philippines ranked 102nd out of 130 countries in the World Justice Project Rule of Law Index. The Philippines, which ranked 51st in 2015, began to drop significantly during the Duterte administration. The PNP assures the public inputs from various institutions like the WJP are always taken into consideration. The Rule of Law Index measures the experiences and perceptions of the general public in country legal practitioners and worldwide experts. Going to take a break now. Up ahead, presidential bets reveal their senatorial slates for the 2022 elections. We'll discuss that when Dave on Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Philippines rolls out its COVID-19 vaccination program for minors. Several senatorial slates will be sharing candidates for the 2022 polls. And the Philippine Police Force vows to do better as the country slid further in the World Justice Project Rule of Law Index. Back with more news, presidential candidate Leni Robredo announces her senatorial slate for the 2022 elections, and it's mostly composed of guest candidates, with only a handful coming from the Liberal Party. The most surprising addition, former Vice President Jejomar Binay, who will now be allied with former rival Senator Antonio Trillanes IV. There's also Senator Richard Gordon, who will be seeking re-election together with Miguel Zubiri, Joel Villanueva, Risa Ontiveros, and detained Senator Laila de Lima. Francis Escudero is also part of the list as he seeks a Senate comeback. There's also human rights lawyer Shel Diokno and former House lawmaker Teddy Bagilat and Alex Lacson from Kapatiran Party.
Kabahagi na ito ng ating pinaghihirapan to unify as many people as possible coming from diverse backgrounds. Hindi lang sa politika, pero paminsan kahit sa paniniwala. Yung panaginip talaga natin, mailagay sa isang samahan yung mga handang makiisa. Actually, yung mga pinili natin na guest candidates, they were among the very first who responded to our call for unity.
Robredo, meanwhile, explains why their list is still one person short.
Kung napapansin nyo, yung number 12, wala pa. Yung number 12, yung gusto sana namin, who will best represent the marginalized sectors. We have a number of nominees. Nirarun by natin ito sa mga groups na nakikiisa sa atin.
The camp of Vice President Robredo denying it is behind the online appeal for Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Domagoso to withdraw his own presidential bid. Robredo spokesperson says ordinary citizens may be behind the spread of the Twitter hashtag #WithdrawIsko.
When they argue or they try to contest a hashtag, you know, they're not arguing against us. They're arguing against ordinary citizens who express that sentiment. We don't have the capability. They obviously have themselves. If they say that, you know, you can orchestrate that kind of thing at that level.
2022 presidential aspirant Senator Manny Pacquiao likewise unveiled his initial senatorial slate. These include incumbent Senators Miguel Zubiri and Joel Villanueva, as well as former Senators Francis Escudero and Lauren Legarda. Former Vice President Jejomar Binay is joining the slate as well. Broadcaster Rafi Tulfo and former Eastern Samar Governor Lutgardo Barbo also made the cut. Most of them will be running as guest candidates.
Hindi lang namin binuo dahil maraming mga guest candidate sa ating mga senador. At hindi naman natin sila kino-corner yung mga tumatakbo dahil senatorial lang naman yung tinatakbo nila. Yung ibang mga kandidato gusto rin mag-apply ng guest candidate, open tayo.
Meanwhile, Pacquiao says the cases against the Marcos family will be reviewed if he wins the presidency.
Ayoko kasing manira, pero yung isyo ng yaman na hawak ng mga Marcoses, kung ano man yung nanakaw nila sa ating gobyerno, kailangan na sigurong ipalit yung sinisigaw ng mga ng taong bayan. Kung ako ay mapalad na ilagay ng taong bayan yun sa posisyon na yan, i-review natin lahat ng mga investigation at lahat ng sinasabing yaman na nakuha ng mga Marcoses kung magkano talaga para maipalit na sa ating bansa. Kailangan, kung nagkamali ka, marunong kang humingi ng patawad. At doon sa sinabi ni Bongbong, sorry to say that, but hindi ako ayoko sa Manila, pero ito yung sinabi niya na bata pa raw siya nung time na yon. Which is hindi po yan tama na sabihin niya na wala pa siyang alam doon sa mga nangyayari nung panahon ng tatay niya.
Pacquiao also says if elected, he will honor the International Criminal Court's investigation into the killings under the Duterte administration's bloody war on drugs. Presidential aspirant Senator Panfilo Lacson and his running mate, Senate President Vicente Soto III, have also revealed their senatorial candidates. The list is composed of 14 aspirants. It includes re-electionist Joel Villanueva, Meg Zubiri, Sherwin Gachalian, and Richard Gordon. Also part of the slate are former Senators Francis Escudero, Lauren Legarda, J.V. Ejercito, and Gringo Onasan. Former Quezon City Mayor Herbert Bautista, former Vice President Jejomar Binay, and former Agriculture Chief Manny Piñol are also included. Completing the list are Dr. Mingita Padilla, former Makati Representative Mansur Del Rosario, and Communications Practitioner Paul Capino. A lot of similar names in different senatorial slates for the 2022 race. Dr. Dennis Coronacion, chairman of the University of Santo Tomas Department of Political Science, joins us now for a discussion on this. Doctor, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina, and good afternoon as well to your viewers.
Well, obviously, I had to read several names several times because they belong to several slates. As the presidential contenders revealed their senatorial slate, we're going to get to that in a while. But first, I want to talk about the Team Robredo Pangilinan senatorial slate. They announced 11 names that will form part of their Senate slate. I want to get your thoughts first on that. What do you think of these names that they included?
Well, I think it's a mixture of, returnees and incumbent senators. So you have there Gordon, Zubiri, Escudero, Villanueva as what do you call this, as re-electionists. Mm-hmm. And Jomina is also came as a surprise for me because I remember back in 2016, he was, I think, at the opposite side of the, you know, political camp. So, you know, with the inclusion of these names, you know, I think the tandem, the Robredo-Pangilinan tandem, considered a winnability. Mm-hmm. Because that's what was lacking. That was one of the criticisms raised before when Sambayan was still trying to invite, you know, prospective candidates for the lineup that they were trying to create. Mm-hmm. It seemed back then that, you know, I think one of the points raised was that the names that they were mentioning seemed to be limited to those who belong to their partisan echo chamber. Mm-hmm. All right. And so they, this time around, they think aside from, you know, winnability, they also took into account, you know, in their selection, inclusivity. And I think Robredo and Pangilinan mentioned that many times during, you know, the press conference earlier, that they would like to, as much as possible, include names that will represent those from the marginalized sectors. And, of course, you know, the tandem has been known for that inclusivity.
Yeah, Professor, you look at the names here. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 familiar names in Philippine politics. And then you have the inclusion of Attorney Shel Diokno and Alex Lacson. They're still talking about whether the 12th spot will belong to either of the two lawyers, Sunny Matula and Neri Colmenares. Do you think that it would have been better if they shaved off some of the more familiar names and really opened it up to a more to more names that will broaden their base and not so much the familiar names? If they, what do you think about that?
Well, yes, you know, that could have been an option for them, for the tandem. But the problem is that if you're going to add more unfamiliar names, they were probably thinking about the, you know, how is that going to affect the result? Or, you know, because these are unfamiliar names. And although they are, you know, these names would, of course, stand out in terms of their moral and political principles and in terms of the interests that they represent. But the problem there is that are they going to win? Are they going to, you know, contribute to the tandem? Mm. Of course, you know, part of the criteria there is what could these candidates bring to the table? How could they contribute to the winnability of the Robredo Pangilinan tandem?
Mm. And then you have, of course, I mentioned a while ago, they're still talking to lawyer Sunny Matula and Neri Colmenares. What do you think? Who among, who between these two will add value, add numbers, be more, be a wiser choice for the team, for the tandem?
Well, you know, of course, these two names, you know, they've been known for their advocacies, respective advocacies. But I think in terms of adding more value to the upcoming elections, I think that would be former Congressman Colmenares. Because Colmenares has been a familiar name for you know, in Philippine politics. Although he belongs to the, I think, progressive left, but somehow his exposure, I think he already ran before as a senator, but he was not fortunate enough. But that kind of exposure is valuable, especially that he's running for a national position.
Yeah, but that's focusing on winnability as well. When you talk about the other aspect, which is inclusivity, you've got a true labor leader in the person of Attorney Sunny Matula, who's, of course, the president of the Free Federation of Free Workers. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, but Colmenares also is more appealing to I think would be more appealing to the tandem in the sense that aside from the fact that he's being considered because of winnability, you know, for quite some time, Colmenares has also made a name as a, you know, as a leader of the left-leaning, of a left-leaning group. If I'm not mistaken, it's Sakbayan. I think, you know, he's at par in terms of representing a certain sector. I think he stands at par with the said labor leader.
Mm. But if you can see that, Professor, if you can see that and analyze that, why do you think the tandem stopped short of including him?
I'm not really privy to the talks between Colmenares and the tandem, but I think you know, the tandem is still thinking, still deciding whether to go for winnability or inclusivity, meaning representing the marginalized sectors. Mm-hmm. So I think they mentioned several names aside from Colmenares and that labor leader. But of course, they're trying to, you know, weigh in which one is going to contribute more to the tandem.
Of course, when you talk about Vice President Lenny Robredo and Senator Francis Pangilinan, they have been espousing a united opposition. They didn't get that when they talked with the talked to other aspirants, but they're going to try and present that in their senatorial slates. And now let me ask you, even if they're one name short, the names that you just saw, the names that you just heard, does this present to you a united opposition?
Well, yes, to a certain extent, because, you know, it represents the various, you know, sectors for society, especially the marginalized, as well as those who have already made a name in mainstream Philippine politics. So I think it's inclusive enough, and it's you know, it's also capable of coming up with a winning slate, coming up with a, you know, a better result compared to, you know, the midterm elections. I think Ocho Derecho did not even win a single candidate. So I think this time around, you know, the senatorial lineup is, you know, good enough to be able to, you know, win some of the positions in the Senate.
Let me just go back to the issue of Attorney Nery Colmenares. You know, a lot of people waiting for his inclusion in that slate, and yet they said that they're still talking to several parties. Would it be the team's loss if they don't include the name of Colmenares in their slate? And what do you think will be the ramifications then?
Well, I think they have, you know, the tandem has already included enough names in order to, you know, to represent the marginalized sector. But at the same time, Colmenares is unique in the sense that he has a, I think he has a considerable influence among the left-leaning groups. Mm-hmm. So that's what Colmenares is capable of bringing to the table. If the tandem would like to woo, you know, the progressive left, then, you know, I think Colmenares is a, the inclusion of Colmenares is a, is an imperative or necessity.
Let's talk about the other slates now, Professor. The fact that several of these names appear in the slates of the Lacson Soto tandem, Pacquiao Atienza tandem, and the Robredo and Pangilinan tandem, what does that tell you about the current state of Philippine politics and what these tandems really have to offer to the people?
Actually, I was waiting for an explanation from, you know, from the tandem. And I think the one who answered the question regarding that one was Senator Franklin Drilon. Mm-hmm. And I was really, you know, waiting for a good explanation from him. But then again, you know, it was an unsatisfactory one. So I was thinking that, you know, what do you call this, the inclusion of the guest candidates have already commitments to, you know, to have commitment to the other political parties, would be one of the weaknesses of this lineup. And this is going to be an issue since in the event that these guest candidates are going to win, mm-hmm. the question there is, you know, how are they going to position themselves when it comes to legislation?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, so assuming...
And also, if you know, if these tandems present, you know, this type of platform of governance to the people, and yet they share these names with the other contenders, I mean, what is that? What are you presenting the people?
Well, well, you know, in terms of the campaign, I think, yeah, that's going to be an issue. That's going to be a question that's going to resonate. How is that going to affect the voters? How are they going to perceive, you know, candidates who are included in two political parties? Or, do I? Hmm. So, yeah, it's really a hard, you know, question to answer. Because it all depends on the voters, how they're going to accept this kind of arrangement, you know, among the candidates and the parties. But I think the primary consideration there, and let me go back to my previous point, is that this time around, you know, the group of Robredo and Pangilinan is has probably given more weight to winnability in the selection of these, you know, tried and tested names.
Mm.
Philippine politics, but they probably did not consider very much. They did not think hard about the implication of this, you know, to the voters. I mean, how are they going to think, or how are they going to accept the idea that some of the people in the lineup are not even, you know, are also included in the other? So there's going to be a conflict in terms of ideology, in terms of you know, presenting their platform of government. But because there might be, you know, some guest candidates whose platform of government might be, you know, in conflict with the tandem of Robredo and Robredo and Pangilinan.
But Professor, when you talk about winnability, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because after all, if these candidates win and you want to push a legislative agenda, those candidates will count. Right? You need them there at the end of the day. But I guess the question now is, with the current names that you're seeing, are these representative of lawmakers that would actually pass laws that are needed at this time? For example, laws that would address the COVID crisis, the climate crisis. You're talking about the sorry state of the education system here in the Philippines, the healthcare system. And you're also going to have to talk about the economy and what's waiting for us post the pandemic. Do you see that in these names?
Well, yes, I can see. Well, if you're going to think about the, you know, the cases of Senator Gordon and you know, Zubiri, well, some of these names have been accused of being, you know, the enablers of the incumbent president. So, but then again, lately they have shown that they're capable of going against the president. So that might, you know, their inclusion might not be a problem in terms, you know, in the event that this tandem is going to succeed, you know, in the elections. So they might be capable, you know, these names might be capable of realizing the legislative agenda of the Robredo tandem, Robredo Pangilinan tandem, in the event that they're going to win. So I don't see any problem with that. And yeah, you have Jojo Binay, Villanueva, Escudero, Zubiri, and Gordon. I think before, because there were talks before they were included in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And I think this matter has already been cleared before they were included. You know, the loyalty, the allegiance, are they going to support, you know, in case this tandem is going to win? Are they going to give their full support to this tandem, you know, in terms of their legislative agenda? So I think that's not going to be a problem.
Well, here we are. We're talking about, you know, the inclusion of these candidates in the Senate slate. But I want to know, what do you think? What does that tell the people about these candidates who chose to be included in several slates? What does that tell us about them?
Well, I think one of the, at first glance, people would think that these are the kind of candidates that would have no loyalty or that would think of, you know, their self-interest before the interest of the party. And that would be the burden of these guest candidates. How would they prove to the voters, especially to the supporters of Isambayan and Liberal Party, that they're worthy of you know, of the people's votes of the supporters' votes? So that's the, you know, initial impression that they're going to create, mm-hmm. that they are after their self-interest, they're after their survival, and that's probably the reason why they joined us, you know, at least two groups. Mm-hmm. So, and that's going to be an issue for them, and it's up to them to present themselves as, they have to justify in before they could earn, you know, the votes of the people.
And for the slates that got them, knowing that the other slates, the other team also have them on their slates, what does that tell the public about these teams?
You know, traditionally, since this is the first time that guest candidates are included in, you know, at least two lineups, two slates. Mm-hmm. That has never been a problem before, except that I think the reason why this is being brought up, you know, in the Robredo Pangilinan tandem is that there were, you know, the Isambayan and LP had made pronouncements before that their selection criteria. I think they got their, you know, they made that impression that their selection criteria would be, set to a higher standard. And many are surprised to find out that the current slate doesn't seem to fit so-called higher standard set by Isambayan and the Liberal Party, considering the fact that, you know, there are traditional politicians in the slate.
And finally, Professor, you know, we've still got a long way to go. What is it? It's only what? Not even middle. It's middle of October. Long way to go before May. You know, we're going to be hearing a lot of things from these candidates. But if you could trim it down for us, if you have certain issues that you think people really should look for in these candidates and hold them accountable so that these will be the issues that they will fight for, not just on the campaign trail, but also if and when they win, what would be these issues? Professor.
Yes. All right. Well, that's right. It's still a long way to go. We're not, you know, the campaign period hasn't even started yet. And we expect a lot of them to say, you know, a lot of things just to get the votes and support of the public. But I think there are some of them, you know, some of the names that are included here will have to, you know, do a lot of explaining because in the past, they you know, issues were thrown at them. Like, say, for example, I can see here the name of former Vice President Binay. So how is he, you know, I think corruption issues in the past would be revived, you know, by his opponents. And the question there is, how is he going to, you know, tell the people now that he's in the, you know, in the Robredo Pangilinan slate, which is known for being, I think, morally pure and politically pure. So how would he justify his inclusion in the slate? That's so far as former Vice President Binay is concerned. So paano na ngayon yon? And then Gordon is also embroiled just recently in a, you know, in a word war with the president. And the president retaliated by saying that, you know, there were some funds in Philippine National Red Cross that seemed to be, you know, that needed explaining.
Mm.
So, these are some of the names whose past will have to be, you know, would definitely be revived or would resurface, and they have to explain.
Mm. So, kailangan maging mapanuri pa rin, hindi lang dun sa mga issues, pero dun sa personalidad mismo.
Tama. At hindi lang po personalidad. Kasi kung talagang, halimbawa, of course, they're going to present a better version of themselves to the public. Oh. And ngayon, yung publiko, if they don't believe, if they doubt the image that these politicians are portraying, they have to dig into their past. At kinakailangan mag-research. Ano ba ang mga policies na sinuportahan ito? Ito ba ay naging enabler? Ito ba ay sumusuporta sa mga practices that tend to abuse human rights? So, kinakailangan tingnan talaga to see if they measure up to the party principles. Kasi, you know, the good thing about this, you know, the Robredo-Pangilinan line, tandem rather, is that parang I think among the tandems, sila yung from the very beginning, they have made very clear their party stand as well as their political principles.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we are, and then you can easily distinguish them from the other tandems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're already working on, you know, strengthening yung kanilang platform of government.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a good thing, especially for the voters, kasi they'll be able to see kung ano yung magiging future, just in case mananalo to, kung ano magiging future ng bansa natin, o kung yung mga policies na ipupush nila. Now, ang problema, ito bang mga nasa senatorial lineup, will they be able to live up, you know, to the party principles, to the principles set by the tandem? And each of them would have to, you know, do a lot of explaining, especially may mga past issues like even Gordon. I don't know the others.
But here's the thing, as a final question, Professor, because, you know, when we talk about, and we're only focusing on the team Robredo and Pangilinan here, because they have been the ones saying that they are and have always been after a unified opposition. And that's why we're dissecting the slate, if it does actually represent a united opposition. The thing is, you know, if they're saying unified opposition, does that also equate to compromising? And is that necessarily wrong? What are your thoughts?
Well, in politics, if you'd like to make a goal, if you'd like to push for a goal, definitely you have to, you know, compromise, because that's the essence of you know, coming up with a unified stand. But of course, as you go along in terms of negotiating what should be included in the stand, or, you know, in the party principles, you have to accept the fact that there are some principles that should not be compromised, non-negotiable. These are non-negotiable principles. And yon, pag sinunod mo yon, I think along the way, there would be certain candidates, so there would be certain political personalities or opposition politicians that would disagree with you and would have to beg off your invitation. So yun ang nangyari kina yung sa invitation kina Isko Moreno, yung sa tandem din ni Lacson and Soto, at saka kay Senator Manny Pacquiao. I think doon nag-bog down yung kanilang negotiations.
Hmm. All right, so, we're going to have to leave it at that. Dr. Dennis Coronacion, their chairman of the USD Political Science Department. I'm sure we're going to talk to you again in the coming days. Sabi nga natin kanina, mahaba pa ito. Marami pang mangyayari. And I'm sure marami pa tayong pagkakataon na magkakausap ulit. Professor, thank you so much for joining us. Take care and you keep safe. All right, moving on. The automatic registration of voters not yet feasible in the Philippines. That's according to the Commission on Elections earlier this week. Labor leader and presidential candidate Leody de Guzman said those of legal age should automatically be registered, just like in Israel, Chile, and Argentina. He says people should not be burdened by bureaucratic procedures just to register to vote. But the COMELEC finds the proposal difficult to implement.
Without a strong residence system, our residence tracking system, that's almost impossible to do, right? So imagine the situation, if you would. A person is born now, and then he is he turns 18, he is automatically registered to vote. The question is, where is he going to vote? Hindi naman siya pwedeng bumoto kung saan-saan, right? Because, you know, we have a history of flying voters.
Meanwhile, election watchdog groups are split on the idea of using the national ID system for automatic voter registration.
It is a good suggestion because first and foremost, it promotes inclusiveness in our electoral process. One thing that we're exploring in LED is the possibility of using our national ID law as a way for Filipinos to register just once. And using the national ID database as a way for passive voter registration in the Philippines. But there's a need to change the Voter Registration Act with, given that recommendation.
It will be problematic because in the past, there have been many forms of opposition to a national ID system because it tends to intrude on the privacy of people. And there is also the tendency in the age of red tagging and various forms of harassment and intimidation to use the national ID system as a way to surveil, you know, the movement of certain quote-unquote suspicious groups and individuals.
The registration period for overseas absentee voters officially ends. The Philippine Consulate General in San Francisco said there was a huge turnout. Officials even had to move to a bigger venue Thursday to accommodate all the last-minute registrants. Consul General Neil Ferrer says many Filipinos from other U.S. states were also able to register during a tour they mounted in several areas such as Colorado and Washington. World News Now, tensions over a probe into last year's massive blast in Beirut escalate into intense street violence. At least 6 people were killed Thursday amid a protest in the Lebanese capital. Protesters were demanding that the judge handling the probe be removed. The army initially said the gunfire had targeted protesters, but now they're saying there was an exchange of fire. While Prime Minister Najib Mikati acknowledges that Lebanon is going through a difficult phase, he is confident his country will overcome this. President Michelle Aoun has vowed to hold those responsible accountable. Former U.S. President Bill Clinton has been admitted to a hospital for a non-COVID infection. His spokesperson said Clinton was admitted Tuesday evening. The statement added, the former president is on the mend. According to local media, Clinton was not on a breathing machine and that his condition is not related to his previous heart problems. Before we go, the hit Netflix series Squid Game came to life in Abu Dhabi, excluding the violence. The city's Korean Cultural Center hosted the event as part of its efforts to promote Korean culture. More than 700 people signed up, but only 30 were selected to compete. The event included the games from the popular series, including Red Light, Green Light, and a simpler version of the Glass Bridge.
We wanted to make a venue for the people in the UAE to experience and learn about the Korean games because the games played in the Netflix drama Squid Game is actually the game we played when we were children. So we want to make the venue people in the UAE can experience and learn about our culture.
That'll do it for today. You made it to Friday, folks. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to visit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.